following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Thursday. We're pretty full up on a Thursday. We're going to look at the Belmont with Gino Bucola of the TVG Network. The official draw came out yesterday, a field of eight American Pharoah. Will he be able to take it on home to the championship in this race? We will find out about that. Also, we'll be talking with the head football coaches in the Shrine Bowl, Doug Goltz at Falls City Sacred Heart. He's got the South and the North coach is Omaha North's Larry Martin. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to Saturday night's home finale for the Nebraska Danger. It's all coming up on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, good morning.
Morning, Doug. How's it going?
That's going good.
Good.
Your plans were rained out last night, huh?
Yes, they were.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it kind of was. I mean, Kevin Cahoy would have not been there. He's playing in the Shrine game, so yeah, it's another batter you wouldn't have to face, so it would probably have been a good time to play him.
Well, we will talk a lot about the Shrine game, and everybody else got in last night, but it was a little damp over at Ryder Park in Grand Island, so one of the neat rivalries that we have in the area, especially when it comes to baseball, Grand Island and Kearney will be rescheduled at another time. Of course, they'll play a couple times throughout the season in that home and home series. Plenty of other sports to get to today. The first game of the NBA Finals is tonight. Golden State taking on Cleveland. Who you got, Jimmy?
Well, I like Golden State just because I like the West. I think the West is tough, so I always have. And I thought Cleveland was the best team in the East, but what do you think, Doug? Who do you have?
Well, I had Golden State over Cleveland when we filled out our bracket. I'm not going to change that. I'm along that line that more of a team in Golden State will be able to defeat more of a person, even though he's the best player on the planet right now, LeBron James. So Cleveland is not the team that they had thought they would be. They did overcome a lot after a slow start to the season. But, man, oh, man, it's kind of neat to see all of these stats. All of these teams, one of them that intrigued me is something to the effect of any team that made the finals that had won 65 games or more in the regular season, it's happened 13 times, they're 13-0 in the finals. I think that tells you about everything you need to know. Now, most of those teams probably had the best player in the NBA at the time, whether it was the Celtics or Michael Jordan's Bulls or, you know, fill in the blanks out there, probably had the best player at the time, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant when they were with the Lakers. So this is a little bit of a different scenario. Steph Curry, you know, if he's the MVP, that's fine. He's not the best player in basketball. And even if he wins this series, he's not the best player in basketball. He'll have to do that multiple times. So it kind of starts tonight for him.
Yeah, he definitely is a really good shooter, though. I mean, he really has got, you know, when he shoots the ball, very seldom has he even hit the rim. You know, I mean, everything's just nothing but net when he shoots. The other thing Golden State does so well is their cutters. They really cut to the basket, and they cut reverse cuts. There's always they got so many guys that are cutting, and they constant motion. And I think Cleveland's kind of limited to how many guys and how many minutes those guys are going to play.
If you'd like to be a part of the show today, 888-455-3776, 888-455-ESPN. We'll also take your tweets at ESPN 1460 1550, the Twitter address at ESPN 1460 1550, and the email at the Dent Pomper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. A tremendous game last night. If you are a Chicago Blackhawks fan in the NHL, their goaltender played outstanding, and they were able to finally get a couple of goals late and beat Tampa Bay 2-1 in the first game of the Stanley Cup. And now, again, in that quirk in the schedule, they will have 2 days off, yet not traveling. Game two will be in Tampa Bay on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, Doug, I didn't see it. I mean, I didn't watch it last night. What exactly happened? Did some fans get into it in the game? Did you hear anything about it? No, you don't know either. Yeah, I just heard on the radio that, there was something like some fans got into it, you know, because there was some, when you're in the Stanley Cup, you'd travel too. But I guess there were some fans that got into it, kind of an ugly situation.
No, I did not see that. I know that one of the Chicago Blackhawks bit one of the Tampa Bay Lightning players on the ice, bit him, like in the chest area, I guess. Why? What? Weirdos.
Yeah, that's
he just bit me. Serena Williams dropped set one of the French Open, and then when she loses, she's going to blame it because she's sick.
Okay.
Then step aside. Bow out.
Is that what she's going to
retire?
Do? Okay.
6-4. Serena Williams loses the first set, and if she gets beat today, then you will have a battle of unknowns in the women's final at the French Open as Sephora won her match today. She knocked out a couple of rounds ago the defending champion in Sharapova. Women's College World Series last night, Florida beat Michigan 4-1, and they win back-to-back national championships. The Royals finally get some runs, but again, four is not what they had been scoring, but four is as many runs as they have scored in a week. They had eight in the win in the first game against the Cubs last Friday. But, I mean, they are struggling at the plate, Jimmy. They are struggling mightily at the plate.
Well, that's what happened to them last year, if you're really honest about it, is even in September when they were winning their games, that's what hurt them. And in fact, even when they won the American League, even in some of their playoff games, there were a lot of 2-1 games. It was just pitching was what was keeping them in that, and the defense, of course.
Yeah, and I think they were taking on better pitchers in the playoffs last year than what they are now. So I guess we'll see how it all plays out. Have you been keeping up to date on the All-Star voting at all?
I for about a week here, I've been out of the loop, Doug, for about a week here. You know, last night I went up, I was going to do some things, and the next thing you know, I'm umpiring a doubleheader baseball game that I didn't know I was going to do until about 5:30. So my schedule changed a little bit. But the All-Star, one time the Royals were like first and third in the outfield in All-Star voting. How's that gone now?
Yeah, I mean, they still got a couple of guys that are right up there, and Alex Rios, who's just returned to the lineup, he's even sitting in fifth. And now this is a couple of days ago was the last time I looked, but there are about five Royals that could be in the starting lineup, and of course that makes the rest of the American League, especially the larger cities and larger franchises, a little upset. But you have to remember, you know, a couple of weeks ago, not even a couple of weeks ago, they are the defending American League champion and had the best record in baseball. So for all those folks that are a little uptight about that, then maybe they need to see what the circumstances are. When the Reds were hot for a while, that happened. Obviously, you're so used to seeing if the Yankees are any good, they have way too many starters. So it's just, you know, if you hate the Yankees and they had five, you'd be upset. And if you don't like the Royals or don't know anything about them, you'd probably be a little upset as well if you were in a different market.
Well, it's an interest level that people in Kansas City are very interested in their baseball team right now. And so they all are voting. Where if you lived in New York, you're not as interested in the Yankees, you know, the Mets. You're not interested in that, so you don't vote as much. It's definitely a problem, though, when one group of players and one team is dominating so much that you know that what's going on is there's an interest level. Somebody that gets online and votes for the All-Star, they vote for one guy. When they go up there and take the time, hey, where are you from? Kansas City. Who do you think should be on that team? Seven of our nine starters, I'll vote for them. Well, not only that, how many times did you get to vote? Well, you only can vote nine times in a day. Okay, boom, 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 nine. Tomorrow I'll be online again. You know, don't you think that's the problem?
Oh, well, the online voting, that is one of the reasons Nebraska does well in all these back polls and, you know, who's the greatest at this and who should you vote for and who should get this award. And that kind of carries over into Kansas City fans. But one of the things, I mean, Miguel Cabrera, Mike Moustakas. I mean, big role fan, still kind of probably got to give the edge to Detroit on that one. And that's nip and tuck right now. where you think it should be a wide margin. That's just one of the, I mean, Salvador Perez, the leading vote getter. Now, he probably deserves it as the catcher in the American League.
Yeah, I would say so. And just the way he handles his pitchers, too, he relaxes them, calms them down when things aren't going well. You know, the Royals defensively are always making plays, though. They're outfield. You know, Lorenzo Cain and Alex Gordon, for what they do out in the outfield, just their defensive, you know, is amazing. And they're always on the highlight films. I mean, those guys are always on a highlight film.
Gordon made another just spectacular play a couple of nights ago in the first game against Cleveland out in left field. So isn't it amazing that some people are calling him the best left fielder, the best outfielder in baseball, considering he was a third baseman when he went to the majors?
Yeah, and defensively, I mean, he is making play after play. I mean, wouldn't you like to be a pitcher and have those guys, you're going, oh, there's a double. Ooh, no, it's an out. And not only that, he threw the guy out at third trying to stretch that into, you know, and you're getting free outs now. You're getting outs that you're really not getting people out on. You know, you're going, hey, how many outs did you get? Well, I pitched, but I only got 21 because we got six putouts from the outfield throwing guys out at the plate or at third base and et cetera.
I got a question for you, Jimmy. Fire. Because as we get into the college postseason, the SportsCenter Top 10 seems to find a lot more college baseball plays to put on their nightly Top 10. Why is that? I mean, Major League Baseball is going on just as well. You know, playoffs are going on in the NBA and the NHL. There's a lot of things going on. They put the soccer ones in there and, you know, French Open tennis here recently. I mean, there's a lot of things to choose from. Is it that the athlete is put themselves in a position in college baseball, thus there's a chance to make those plays? Or any guesses as to why that is?
Yeah, I guess the only thing I can think of is there's more cameras there at those games. You know what I mean? It's easier to pick up. It's tough to pick up something that happens at Bowling Green University. Some guy could make a heck of a play, but it doesn't get publicized as much. Mm-hmm. You know, there might have been 500 people at the baseball game. I don't even know if Bowling Green has baseball, but I just threw that out. And, and I think it doesn't get publicized as much. But, you know, if somebody makes a great play in a World Series, everybody sees it, and right away they go, well, that's got to be on there. This has got to be on there. You know, I mean, so there's been some, I think a lot of that has to do with that. You know, what's interesting is, like, in tennis, very seldom do you see a tennis play that is spectacular. I mean, you watch tennis. I mean, there's some great, you know, it's got to be just a tremendously long set. That's not quick enough for Sports Center. they want to see somebody that reaches over the fence and robs somebody of a home run. Or they want to see somebody that makes a diving catch. Those things are spectacular to watch. It's not that spectacular when some guy really, okay, how many offensive linemen do you see on there that had a really good block? And they go, look at that. Made SportsCenter. Look at that. Look at that crease. How did he get to that thing? How did he make that play? So that's my feeling. And these NCAA outfielders, you know, they probably can lay out a little bit better at age 20 than some of these guys at age 33.
Okay, makes great sense. A couple other sports notes, and then we'll have Gino Pucola on the other side of the break from the TVG Network. Give you a chance to win Danger tickets. Talk to both of the head football coaches at the Shrine Bowl. Again, the Shrine Bowl will air on Classic Hits 98.9 and PlatteRiverPreps.com this Saturday. Pregame round 1:30, kickoff a little after 2 o'clock. Larry Baker will join me for the coverage on Saturday at Foster Field. The Big Ten announced their yearly Sportsmanship Award winners yesterday. Now, each all-conference team also has a sportsmanship award that is attached to it, but over 350 students were honored throughout the academic year who had displayed positive sportsmanship. And Nebraska is represented by, on the female side, Samantha Ehrman of soccer, and on the football, Amir Abdullah for the Huskers. On the men's side, takes the award for Nebraska. A couple of other notes here. Nebraska Danger, we talked about Breon Carnes coming on. I had a chance to chat with Coach Davis off air about Jameel Sewell. They set him out because they weren't sure if he was fully back from a concussion. Coach Davis also saying, I wanted to test out some of my guys, and they have made some significant roster moves over the last 2 weeks. When we had Coach on last week, he was talking about six new guys that had joined the team a couple of weeks ago. Four new players joined the team this week. And, Jimmy, this is a roster that only carries around 23 total players for IFL rules. That's a big turn. I mean, that's half your team. And remember, they lost Farquharson and Claude Rutan to disciplinary action and dropped them from the team about a month ago. So this is a totally different team. You got your main cogs in there with your quarterback and your running back and a couple of your great defensive players, but Coach Davis wants to make that run to the IFL championship game again, and he went out and got a second-team all-SEC safety in Braylon Webb from Missouri. Xavier Smith comes in from Sam Houston State. They bring in a new kicker to join the backup quarterback in Breon Carnes. So Coach Davis looking for a little spark here.
Yeah, you know, that IFL football, you're right, it changes from week to week. It's you know, there's some high schools in the state of Nebraska. You're not for sure who you're going to see, you know, out on the court. The one that comes to mind mainly to me is Boys Town. You know, you might play mm-hmm. Boys Town in December, and you might have a different team that you're playing in February. And, you know, when you look around in the IFL, that happens quite a bit. But they have some rules in the IFL that's kind of amazing, and it does not help the quarterback. And one of them is in the last minute of the game, when the clock is stopped, and you have to have positive yardage. You can't take a knee like you can in the NFL. If you take a knee, the clock stops. Mm. They make you continue to do positive yardage plays. Well, when you're a quarterback, that means you've got to take, when you're it looks like you're going to have a 1 yard loss, so you lower your head and some linebacker comes flying up. And so, yeah, you gained a half yard to get the clock to continue to move, but now you've just taken yourself into a concussion mm-hmm. risk. You can see that. And that's kind of what happened a little bit the last game. In the last couple drives, he took some shots. It was absolutely amazing. And I was glad he was running away from me and not towards my sideline when he took those.
We are here at the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Your Midway Auto dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac with their new used superstore right there on South 2nd Avenue. The old Killian Motors business up and running and ready for you. And with the expansion, four locations now in Kearney, four different venues to go either get your car worked on, get a used car, get a new car, you can go see them at Midway. And they would love to have you be part of the Midway team. Go to MidwayCareers.com to find out what kind of job openings they have at your Midway Auto dealership. You can check out the work week. You can check out the benefits. You can check out the job description and pick which one works the best for you. And then chat with the folks at Midway. Go to MidwayCareers.com. And don't forget, for a new or pre-owned vehicle, check out your Midway Auto dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When we come back, Gino Bucco to talk from TVG about the Belmont.
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, I got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour for everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Farming is your livelihood, and we understand that. After all, the companies of Farm Bureau Financial Services were originally founded to serve the unique insurance and financial services needs of farmers. Contact Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney and learn how they make it simple to help you select the coverage that's right for you today and provide options for the future of your growing operation. Call Rich Peters or Matt Myers in Kearney today. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly considerable cloud cover and some scattered showers and storms in the area today. Temperatures top off up near 80 as winds out of the east-southeast stay at about 5 to 15. Tonight with scattered storms will fall to 62. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley. Right now, 68.
Really? This is the Belmont theme song? Is that? I didn't know that. Welcome back to the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Uta, Jim Langan. Streets of New York. Gino Bucola stands by for the TVG Network as we get ready to most likely, I think, crown a triple crown champion. Gino, did you know that the Belmont theme song was Streets of New York?
I think it's changed around a little bit. We've had Frank Sinatra do it before. Yeah. I think a couple years ago they had the new In New York song when they came out. So I think anything with New York in it, they'll mess around a little bit. And I agree with you. I think we're going to see it this year. I really do. I think there's a lot of reasons why we haven't seen it in past years, and I think it's just going to be kind of a blessing in disguise that American Pharoah got hurt late in his 2-year-old season. It was kind of the similar thing with All Have Another. What happens is, you don't run from September through, you know, March for American Pharoah. And all those months when horses were racing in the Breeders' Cup and racing as a 2-year-old into the 3-year-old season, he didn't have to worry about it. He was, you know, on the sidelines. He was just trying to get back healthy. I think right now he's going to be fresh. And I think we're going to see American Pharoah win the Triple Crown for the first time since 1978.
Hey, Gino, you know, there's been some races in the past where the jockey, I think, has maybe cost the race. Now, there's been a couple times where that wasn't the case, but there's been a couple times where they got by the horses in front of them, and then they look like they're going to draw off and win by 2 or 3. Well, they're going to beat the horses in front of them, but all of a sudden, here comes a deep closer from downtown that'll run that thing down. So there's been a couple jockey mistakes on some 2-5 and 3-5 horses that have been beaten by 7-1, 8-1 shots. Your thoughts on how much of the race will American Pharoah be in the lead here? Will this be a wire-to-wire run?
I think so. I think if you're Victor Espinosa, I think you ride him the same way you rode him in the Preakness. I think last year, one thing that Victor might have second-guessed himself for was not going to the lead early on. He had the opportunity with California Chrome, and I think sometimes when you're going a mile and a half, some of the connections, they get a little concerned thinking, if I go to the lead early, am I going to tire my horse out? I think it's kind of the opposite. You do what your horse is comfortable doing, and American Pharoah is very comfortable on the front end or relaxing. I don't think he needs the lead, but I look at this group of horses, and there's nobody even close to being as fast as him. I think if you're Victor, you ride him one way. You say, you know what, I'm on the best horse. If you want to beat me, you got to pass me. I'm going to go to the front. I'm going to open up a length or two, and there's 7 other horses in this field. Only one of them has even close to the kind of tactical speed to keep up with American Pharoah. I honestly think if a combination of any of these horses really tried to go to the front, I don't even think they could. I don't think they're naturally quick enough to even keep up with American Pharoah. Then it takes them out of their own game, what makes them comfortable. It could be a perfect storm this year for American Pharoah, who gets post 5, doesn't have to worry about an inside draw or even an outside draw in a small field. It really didn't matter where he drew. I think with the jockey who's already been down this road twice, he's been alive in the Triple Crown 2 different times. You have a trainer who's been in this situation 3 different times now. And you have owners who have been second in the Derby, second in the Preakness, second in the Belmont, second in the Derby 3 times. I think this is the best team you could possibly have to prepare a horse to win the Triple Crown. And I just don't love the rest of the horses that are facing him this year. Last year, I was a big Tonalist fan, kind of waiting in the wings for a horse like Tonalist who got hurt. American Pharoah has crushed every other horse in this field. The horse who was closest to him was Frosted in the Derby. Every other horse he is absolutely dusted and handled with ease. And I think he's getting better. He's getting bigger. He's putting more weight on. All of the positive signs after a race 2 and 3 weeks ago, to me, all signs point to a Triple Crown winner.
Gino Bacola, TVG Network, as always, joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show to preview the biggest horse racing events throughout the year. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Thursday. You mentioned you thought there was only one horse that had the type of game to stick with him. I assume you're referring to Materiality.
Yeah, and the issue is I probably wouldn't play Materiality underneath. If you're gonna try to make a little money, you can't necessarily play American Pharoah with Frosted or Materiality, because I think those two are going to be the only two horses that really take any money. They're going to be your second and your third choice. So if you play the first choice with the second or the third choice, you're not going to make money. Maybe we go back to our boy Taylor Verve, who made a little money for us flying and finishing in the bottom of the exotics. I think it just comes to picking and choosing which of the deep closing long shots you like. For me, I think Made from Lucky is a little bit interesting, because I like the fact that this is a horse who prepped at Belmont in the Grade 2 Peter Pan. That's the same race that Tolerless won last year, and Commissioner, who was second, they both came out of that race to run 1-2 in the Belmont. I think that whoever can sit third or fourth and get the jump on some of the deep, deep closers, horses like Mook Dehige, wouldn't shock me. He's kind of coming into this race a little bit better, and some of the folks I've been talking to from the rail think that he might be more forwardly placed in here. Taylor Verve, Made from Lucky, Fermento, Keen Ice, all very similar styles. That's what concerns me a little bit about this race. If you have five of these horses who are 10 lengths out of it, I just don't know if they're going to get the kind of pace scenario they need to win. So if we're trying to make a little money in the Belmont, if you just don't want to play your $2 to win ticket on American Pharoah and hope for history, I think the horses underneath you can get a little value with would be the three inside horses. I would go Mook Dehige, Taylor Verve, and Made from Lucky. I try to get combinations of those three horses under American Pharoah.
You know, I normally I have something that I can throw out, but I see the race exactly like you do. I just think that American Pharoah probably will have a two-length lead on the backside. I don't see anybody that's going to go with him, and I don't know. I think they all would like to beat him. They're not going to trust, you know, every one of these jockeys would like to be the jockey that upset American Pharoah, but I just don't. I don't think he'll win by 7 lengths. I think he's going to have that 2-length lead, and he's just going to run a steady race, and when they turn for home, he's going to look around, and if nobody's coming, he's going to win by 2 or 3. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think he's going to be cruising the whole way now. I said 4 or 5 times already, I think that he's going to win. Keep in mind, 2 years ago, 3 years ago with All Have Another, I felt the same way. He never got a shot, so it's kind of hard to use him as an example. But we go back to Big Brown. I mean, people said Big Brown could not lose. If you looked at the field that he was facing, it was very comparable to this field. There just was not a lot of talent in there. And Big Brown showed up, and he just wasn't Big Brown that day. We had an interview with Victor Espinoza on TVG the other day, and you heard Victor say, somebody asked Victor, when did you know that California Chrome wasn't quite California Chrome that day? And he said early, in the paddock. I was walking around, and I could just tell he didn't have the same energy underneath. He just wasn't quite responding to me, even when we were walking around before the race started. With the third race in the 5-week span, with the pomp and the circumstance, with everything that goes on, you have to wonder if it takes something out of the horse. One thing that Bob Baffert said 2 weeks ago, after winning the Preakness, so the one word that I'm going to say is exhausted, because the next few weeks are exhausting. The interviews, I mean, Mr. Zayat and Justin Zayat, his son, have been on CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC. Victor Espinoza's been on every network, radio you could possibly imagine, all over the place, different sports teams inviting them. And Baffert's kind of living it up right now, because he's been down this road so many times. He knows not to take it for granted. I think this is the right team. I think they're going to be in great shape. And what I'm looking forward to is, and I'm not trying to use this as a knock on California Chrome, but when we look 20 years down the line and we look back at all the horses who won the Triple Crown, I think American Pharoah will be a very deserving one, because we're going to look at the people who handled him, and we're going to say, oh, he had a Hall of Fame trainer in Bob Baffert who'd won the Derby over and over and over, and we remember Baffert as a trainer who was really good with these horses coming into the Derby. We have the Zayats, who spend millions of dollars on their horses, and they love the game, and they're just, they're what horse racing needs. They're great owners who have a lot of life, and they love racing. They're willing to spend as much money to win. And then you have Victor Espinoza, who's been down this road. It's funny, because after his 2002 win with War Emblem, he's kind of a forgotten man in Southern California. You had some new jockeys come out in the colony. You had some of the older Hall of Famers get rejuvenated, and people forgot about Victor Espinoza for about a 3 or 4 year spurt. And then last year with Chrome, he came back into the limelight, back into the spotlight. He dealt with all of this. He's become very media savvy. I just think it's a team that we're going to look back on in the record books and say, they deserve to win the Triple Crown. If somebody was going to break the drought, it should be a horse trained by Bob Baffert. It should be Victor Espinoza aboard. It should be the Zayats, because they're all deserving, and they're all going to be big names in the sport of horse racing when we look back.
You know, what you're saying is exactly correct. Birdstone is the horse that beat Smarty Jones and paid about $78. The horse should never have paid $78. The horse should have paid about $32. But people were just pounding the window with Smarty Jones. I think we're going to see this type of a mutual. I don't know if somebody's going to beat him, but I think the mutual handle will be like this. We're going to see horses that should be 12 and 13 to 1 that are going to be 30 and 40 to 1. Your thoughts, real quick.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that's where you have to kind of look in. It's my job to look at some of the pools, too. Going into the Derby, you can see how the pick threes or the pick fours or the daily doubles are going to pay, which means you can see if all the folks out there bet American Pharoah as big in the win pool as they do in some of the exotic pools. Sometimes, just like you say, people are betting win tickets on American Pharoah, and then what happens if you know people aren't playing as many pick threes or pick fours because their focus is on those win tickets. You might be able to catch prices in other ways, and we'll keep our eyes on that. If you follow me on Twitter, at GinoTVG, I'll try to do the best that I can is monitoring the pools that day, not passing along any information, and then saying, how are we going to make some money? Because that's one thing a lot of people want to know. We want to watch the race. We want to watch history. But if you're watching, you want to make a few bucks, and we're going to try to do our best to make you a few bucks, not but just put an American Pharoah on top of Materiality or Frosted. We got to get a little creative and try to get a long shot or two in there. So we'll throw those three down on the rail. The 1, 2, and 3 we'll use underneath.
We're talking for another minute here with Gino Bucola of the TVG Network. There's so many, as you talked about, with all these interviews, there's also so many stats and so much history that has been going on out there. There are so many of them that I can't even have them all down in front of me here. But one of them was like, mentioned this morning, of all the Triple Crown winners, when they raced in the Belmont, the average horse, they had to beat the average of about five other horses in the field, small field. We have a small field here. And correct me if I'm wrong, Gino, the last of all these 13 horses, or 12 previously, that had a chance here, since affirmed, to win the Triple Crown, and all of the fields have been bigger than this eight-horse field, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What happens usually is generally the years that we've had a Triple Crown winner, they scare people off. And I think that's what happened with American Pharoah, too. I honestly think that the two biggest threats to American Pharoah, and I think I said this to you guys before the Preakness, I honestly felt that the Preakness was going to be a tougher race for him to win in the Belmont because of the horses he was facing in the Preakness. I thought Firing Line and Dortmund were years better at this point in their career than any horse he's facing in the Kentucky and the Belmont this weekend. Does that mean at the end of the year Materiality won't be much better? No. Does that mean Frosted can't be a little bit better? But right now, I think Dortmund and Firing Line were just a little bit better than any of the rivals he has to face, partially because they both have speed. They both have tactical speed, which will make him kind of work and have to earn it. If he's able to cruise and just relax, that's the one thing about American Pharoah that you'll constantly hear over and over and over, is cruising speed. He can go very, very quick and still be cruising and still be relaxing and still be very comfortable. And that's a trait that a lot of horses don't have. He just seems to continue to clock off fractions, and he doesn't really seem to take much out of him. So if he can stay at that relaxing speed, just as you mentioned, I think he's going to be really tough, and he could have a 2 to 3 length advantage all the way around the racetrack, and I think they're going to be looking at his behind as he turns for home and opens up 3 to 4 on the field.
And Gino, what about the horses that didn't come in? Some of the ones that were at least in the ballpark, a Carpe Diem, a Dortmund, some of these horses that we've heard of in the previous two races.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them, if you're Dortmund, you run really, really well in the Derby. That's your first loss. You come back, you kind of have a weird race in the Preakness. And another thing, you're Bob Baffert, too. So Baffert's looking at the horses going, what's good for my horse? For Dortmund, the best thing for him little bit of time off. He actually came back onto the racetrack at Santa Anita last weekend, so he's already starting to prepare for what's next for him. It could be a spot like the Los Alamitos Derby. That wouldn't shock me, but I think you'll probably see Dortmund in bigger races. Bob Baffert's had really good success in the Haskell and the Travers. I'm not as good at the Travers, but very good success in the Haskell. I wouldn't be shocked if you see Dortmund pointing to one of those big races in the summer. And you're going to see a lot of horses running on Saturday in some of the earlier races, like the Easy Goer. It's kind of a prep race for the Jim Dandy and the Travers, which are some of the big three-year-old midsummer-type races. So as we get kind of winding down with the Triple Crown races, we're already starting to look forward to what's next. They've already made the decision that regardless, win, lose, American Pharoah will continue to run the rest of the year. So now what'll be fun is hopefully he wins his Triple Crown, and then for him it'll be on to try to face older horses and try to win the Breeders' Cup at the end of the year. He'll have to deal with horses like California Chrome, Byron, Tonalist, all very familiar names that we know from the last couple of years.
Gino, great stuff as always. And if we get this Triple Crown winner, maybe we can run you down again next week to kind of look at the history and a bigger picture of American Pharoah.
I would absolutely love to. We've had many, many horses now since 1978. He's the 14th. That's won the first two, and he'll try to win the third. So we've been here many, many times, but I honestly can say in my lifetime, I haven't been this confident that any horse was going to win the Triple Crown. So I think based on the competition, based on the preparation, based on the fact that he didn't have a whole lot as a two-year-old into three-year-old, I think he comes into this race fresh as a blessing in disguise. And I think we're going to be yelling and screaming, guys. So hopefully we get a Triple Crown winner on Saturday.
Well, let me follow that up one more time here, Gino. Do you think American Pharoah is the big favorite and you feel this way because he is that good of a horse or because the competition isn't there for him in the Belmont?
I think it's both. I think it's a little bit of both. But I honestly think that when there's no one other horse that I love that I'm really trying to sink my teeth into, and I keep comparing it to last year, Tonalist got hurt before the Derby. He didn't get the chance to run. He was coming into the race very well. California Chrome had never defeated him. It's just different this year. Pharoah's dusted all of these horses. I don't see any reason why they can turn the tables on him now. I think he's the real deal. I think from what I've heard in the morning, people that aren't from Southern California, that don't know Bob Baffert, people that don't even like Bob Baffert and Mr. Zayat have said, this is one of the best horses I've ever seen training. And when you hear that over and over and over again from some very respected people, it becomes, it becomes real. It just becomes real. And I think he's one of the best horses that I've seen run. So let's get it home, guys. Let's get it home. And this will be great for horse racing, at least for the next few weeks to a month. There'll be a lot of people talking about it. You'll see these folks all over. And with Twitter and Facebook the way it is nowadays, things get huge. Horse racing in the last couple weeks has been like it's never been before.
Great stuff, Gino. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the race. We'll talk soon. Thanks for your time,
okay,
buddy.
Okay, and I got to give you one real quick for boys who always ask me for a horse on the undercard. So go to the 8th race on Saturday. It's the Just the Game. You got Lady Laura, the one from the inside, who's 12-1 on the morning line.
Lady Laura, boys. Lady Laura for all our racing fans out there. Mark it down. Gino's usually home run hitter with these. Gino, thanks so much, buddy. Talk to you again.
Thanks a lot. We'll talk next week after he wins.
All right. TVG Network, Gino Bucola, he's the best, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And that's our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Who are you betting on at the Belmont Saturday, American Pharoah or the field? American Pharoah or 38 years in a row where you would have cashed in on the field? Jimmy, who you got?
Oh, I don't think they can beat American Pharoah, so I'm going to play that. I think he's wrong about the exact a little bit. I think those horses that are going to go to the front, I think they will die, and I think these closers are going to pass them, and they're going to run second and third. So you can, if you, and there's plenty of closers, just pick them out. But I think the two other horses that try to go with him, they're going to try to press him a little bit more, and they are just going to run out of gas after about a mile.
Well, you brought it up at the Preakness. Are you in to win it, or are you in to hit the board? And that's why we saw such a big payoff on the trifecta in the Preakness, because the horses that couldn't stay with him in the beginning were able to clean up, and the ones that went after him weren't good enough to stay with him, and that's why he had some long shots come in. So, you might be the second best horse in the field, so do you try to win it, or do you try to get second? And that'll be a big thing in the race.
And, you know, the Kentucky Derby was a speed-holding track that day with those three horses that went out. They ran first, second, and third. So the horse that did run fourth in that race, Frosted. I think, you know, since the bias was speed, I think Frosted will run second.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Who you got in the Belmont, American Pharoah or the Field? ESPNSuperstation.com. We asked you yesterday, who needs the NBA Finals the most? Overwhelmingly, 70% of you voted for the city of Cleveland. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We'll talk with the head football coaches in the Shrine Bowl, Larry Martin and Doug Goltz, when we return.
Crazy Burn is the latest, hottest weight loss product exclusively being sold at the Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. Are you looking to get fit and slim down for summer? Crazy Burn has ephedra effects resulting in more energy, appetite suppression, and amazing weight loss. Start working on that beach body today. Don't go mad hoping for something to work. Get crazy with Crazy Burn and start getting results today. Available exclusively at your Hastings GNC just north of Walmart, the Kearney GNC in the Hilltop Mall, and the Grand Island GNC in the Conestoga Mall.
Ready for happy hour? How does happy hour where you get paid sound?
Every Friday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., the Interstate All Battery Center in Grand Island is going to celebrate happy hour by paying you for your old or dead automotive, marine, and power sports batteries.
You can register for prizes and put some cash in your pockets for the weekend.
So check your backyard, garage, and storage shed and bring those batteries in for cash.
It's way more fun than checking the couch for change.
Happy hour, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Fridays. Interstate All Battery Center across Highway 281 from Home Depot, Grand Island.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
This is Dave, and Dad doesn't need another pair of socks for Father's Day. He'll be happier with a freshly cut, thick, and juicy steak. Stop at Custom Pack, and we can help you pick the perfect Father's Day dinner gift for the old man. Trust me, we have been helping families pick what Dad would want for dinner since 1947.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
It's that time of year again, so dust off the bikes and head to Upland, Nebraska for the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th. Events being held during the rally include a fun run, a bike show, bike games, a hog roast, live auction on Saturday at 6, enjoy music on Friday night from Area 52, and Saturday from One Horse Town. There will be vendors and other activities as well. The rally is focused on raising money and awareness for the National Craniofacial Association. Find more information about registration at facesrally.org. The 14th Annual Faces Rally in Upland. Proudly sponsored by BBLC Digital Outdoor, Kearney. Fort Theater Dentistry, Kearney. Aurora Co-op Agronomy Division, Upland. Rogers Foundation, Minden First Bank and Trust. Holstein Construction, Scott Shaw, Holstein. Pioneer Seed, Doug Bolt in Upland. See you at the 14th Annual Faces Rally, June 12th through the 14th in Upland, Nebraska.
I'll make a brand new start of it.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Thursday, getting excited and getting ready and getting prepped up for the 57th annual Nebraska Shrine Bowl game, which is coming up on Saturday, and we will have it for you on Classic Hits 98.9. Just found out who the officials are for the game. Congratulations to Casey Peterson from right here. He's going to be the umpire in the game, Jimmy.
Good deal. Great. Who else is on there?
Perry Decay is the referee from Verdal.
Okay.
Well, there you go. They're throwing that out to you. Dave Perry of Omaha, Reggie Carnes of Wayne, and Shane Smith of Lincoln are the guys that will get the honor of doing the Shrine Game. Have you done the Shrine Game?
No, I've never have. It used to have umpiring baseball during that time. I've just been doing, you know, like they used to have it in August, and I'd have a state baseball tournament where I was doing, and then lately my son's been playing, and, you know, a lot of, we're going to Colorado this weekend. So, but I've never applied, but I think I'd like to. I think I might apply one time. If I get it, great. If I don't, then I'll know they didn't want me.
Well, let's talk to the coaches, and we'll start off with the head coach of the South, Doug Goltz from Falls City Sacred Heart, who we've had an opportunity throughout the playoffs over the last few years to chat with here on the Doug and Daddy Show and before the playoff games. And, of course, a very successful season for Coach Goltz, and now he's trying to put the cherry on top here in the Shrine Bowl. Coach, thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and how's camp been going for you?
Camp's gone really well. Great group of kids, work hard, work together. No complaints. It's really gone well.
Both teams have just got back from the hospital visit. Sometimes we kind of end the interview with that. I want to start the interview with that a little bit today. The kids are always there for the first time. The coaches are always there for at least the second time. Take us through the experience earlier this week.
Well, when the kids came in on the day they checked in, you know, we talked about the meaning of the game, what it stands for, and what its real purpose is. And then I think, you know, we try to harp on that during the week, but the hospital visit, I think, really hammers that home, where they get to see what the hospital does, the kids that they're playing for. And we had a really good day yesterday. We landed in Chicago around noon, and then we spent about 3 hours at the hospital and took a tour, learned a lot about how the Shrine hospitals work, and then the kids were able to kind of play with some of the kids that were there, and it's just a real good day for us.
I noticed in some of the interviews that we had with our Husker Online guys, Deshaun Neal was one of them. We're getting some of the Division I kids, some of the Huskers who haven't played in the past to play in this football game, and they were made aware by their, in Deshaun's case, his dad, by his coach, about what they're actually playing for here. How much is that talked about? Because, I mean, these guys are the best there is out there, and they're practicing hard, but in their downtime, there's a lot of fun, too. How much is there about the meaning of the football game? Do the kids seem to realize what they're playing for maybe more than they used to?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's one of the number one jobs I have as a coach is not necessarily the game itself as much as what this is really for. Trying to emphasize that the game is not for these players. We're for the hospitals and these kids. And we've got a lot of sharp kids. They really understand what we're talking about. But the hospital visit really is what sets that all in place, where they get to see what these hospitals, what these doctors and nurses do, and what these kids go through. And, you know, I think it's great that we've got the Husker recruits playing, too. I mean, fans want to see them play. The other guys on our team want to play with those kind of players. So it's been great to have Deshaun with us and those walk-ons. It's really good for our team.
Yeah, Coach, I think that's a great point you made that, you know, I've been in coaching just like you have for years, and it wasn't lucrative as far as the salary's concerned, but it was tremendously rewarding with the experiences and the memories and the people that you meet. I mean, and it's fun to win state championships, and you've won plenty of them. But it's the rewarding experience that you have. And I can just tell by the way you're talking about your hospital visit that you made this an educational experience for everybody involved. And I want to thank you for that. My question to you is, we've got some kids in the Kearney area that are on that team, and talk a little bit about some of the things that they can do and what you're looking at them to maybe playing time and et cetera.
Well, to be honest with you, we kind of went in with the idea that everyone would play on both sides of the ball. They would learn our offense and the defense. The only two guys that haven't done that are the two quarterbacks, Isaiah Ramsey and Alec McGinnis. Otherwise, we've got players playing both ways all the way through camp. Some will play definitely more offense or more defense, but we went in so that they would all be able to play on both sides of the ball depending on the situation, and we just thought it was good for the team to do it that way. Makes practices a lot better by rotating guys. But, yeah, there's a lot of good Kearney players. You've got the two Kearney Catholic boys, very, very good linemen. Kearney High kids, Arp and Sterling. You know, they're just solid, solid players. I can say that about all these guys. As a coach, it's kind of a coach's dream to be able to work with the caliber of players like that. And then even these coaches that I'm working with, too. It's been a great experience for me.
We're talking with Doug Goltz, Fall City Sacred Heart, head coach of the South for Saturday's Shrine Game here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, I know you are pounded this question in any eight-man coach that has the opportunity to coach in the Shrine Game gets asked, well, how will you deal coaching 11-man football now that you're ready for game time? How's things going in that area?
Well, really, it hasn't been an issue or a big deal. I mean, I'm smart enough to know that I have five great assistant coaches. They've all coached 11-man football. When we came in, we talked about who was going to coach what areas, kind of delegated some things. So there really hasn't been a mention even of 8- or 11-man football at all as we've worked in camp. You know, my job more is to kind of organize things, make sure the kids know what we're playing for, and then the great assistant coaches that I have, you know, they've just done a great job. Ryan Gatula from Lincoln Southeast, Jim Jacobson from Norris, Phil Truax from Dundee County, Lynn Jurgens from Wilbur Claytonia, and Matt Farrup from Lincoln Christian. Just been great to work with such a high caliber group of coaches.
A couple more questions here for Coach Goltz. One of the eight-man players are Jared Hastings from Giltner and Kyle Jensen from Exeter Milligan, who we've had the opportunity to see play. And then Noah Johnson, had they got a little deeper in the playoffs, might have broke the single-season rushing record. What's your plans for those young men?
Well, we're using Noah Johnson primarily as an I-back, good, solid, tough runner. You can just see the kind of player he is by the way he carries the football. And then Kyle Jensen, we've been working at strong safety. He's picked that up, doing a great job back there. And then Jared Hastings, we have him playing at cornerback and wide receiver. He was a great addition to the team, too.
Hey, Coach, how about the North squad? When you looked at, you know, who you're playing against, I know that, you know, you've been really busy with your own team, and that's going to have to be your focus. But you also had to have a little bit about, hey, when you look at the North squad, what are you going to have to do? What are some dangerous players that they have and some of the things you're looking at least from the defensive side, looking at their offense, or maybe how you're going to attack them?
Well, you know, we do get 30-play scrimmage film from them. We both scrimmage Sunday and we trade that. So a lot of times you're just kind of looking at their lineup and trying to see, you know, who's going to play maybe where for them on which side of the ball. Their quarterback, Allman from Grand Island, is a great thrower and he's athletic and can run. So, you know, I think it's going to start with him. And then Boone Central player, Wyatt Mazur, very talented. You know, he's going to go to the university and play. So he's obviously a threat. And then the Omaha North receiver that replaced Calvin Strong, great speed. He got beat a few times in their scrimmage. So, you know, they've got some very, very good players. We've talked a lot about, you know, just trying to keep things in front of us. But I think Almond will be a real key for them. He'll probably take almost all their snaps because I believe their other quarterback got injured in camp.
Yeah, and that'll give us our last question here, Doug. We'll ask Larry about his injuries because they seem to have a few that have been reported. Health of your team, will everybody at this moment be ready to go?
Yeah, right now we're all healthy. I think we've done a good job in practice of going hard but not going too hard. And, you know, hopefully we'll have everybody ready to go Saturday.
Coach Doug Goltz, the head coach of the Shrine team on the South for this summer, and the head coach, of course, at Fall City Sacred Heart. Doug, thanks for the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll see you here in Kearney.
Thank you.
That's Doug Goltz. Always great to talk with. Has done a great job in all the sports that he's coached down there, numerous state championships. And it'll be interesting, as he said, to run what they do offensively, Jimmy. It'll have to be a little bit different than what he does, because solely from the eight-man factor. You can try and run the same things, but you're going to have to incorporate what Lincoln Southeast and Norris and whichever coach he decided, maybe let's run that philosophy.
Yeah, and it seems like in the Shrine game at times, the defense wins a lot of battles. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to hold the team scoreless, and you maybe even have a high-scoring game. But the defense seems to win more plays than the offense in a Shrine type atmosphere where, you know, the defense won that and it's a 2-yard loss. But hey, at any moment, if somebody can go long or catch a deep ball, hey, that's 6 points. And, you know, it's hard to make that up at times. And Omaha North does have that receiver.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with the North squad. We've just talked with Doug Goltz, the head coach of the South, here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and Larry Martin. We've got a chance, kind of the same thing, playing Kearney High, seeing them in the playoffs over the last few years, and Coach Martin is running the North squad for Saturday's Shrine game. And Coach Doug Duda, Jim Langan here, welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. I know it's very busy. Thanks for squeezing us in. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. Thanks again. Good to hear your voice, and we appreciate everything you do for these kids, and we've had a great week, and we're getting to that point where it's time to play a football game, right?
Well, there's no doubt about it, and of course, all eyes have been on your camp the last few days. You guys have been busy, media day today, Chicago for both teams over the last couple of days. A lot of the work had to get done before all of the hoopla, but let's start with the injury situation. You've addressed why Calvin Strong isn't there, and that allows you to bring Marquise Lewis in, but that has been the forefront, so let's get that out of the way. Talk about that decision with your own players, and then the status of some of the injured players going into the game.
Yeah, you know, when you work through these types of things, and as busy as kids are nowadays with all the stuff that they have going on, you know, we just have to be respectful of their time. And you know, with a couple of the boys they had, you know, just trying to get them up there to their colleges, and that's why we need to be a little bit more appreciative of the time that some of the kids are willing to give here. You know, you got Wyatt and Michael, who both have to be down at the University of Nebraska on Sunday. And that's kind of been my approach here with this. This is an all-star game. It was very important to me and the staff to let the kids know exactly what they were playing for. And the Shrine Bowl, they do an excellent job of doing that. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a family that grew up right next to us in Fremont when I was the head coach at Fremont Bergen, the Maroos, Bill Maroos. I believe he played fullback out there at UNK back in the day, and he has a daughter that was a patient up at the Shriners, and we brought them down, them and their family. Hillary's 31 years old now, so, and we've got Carson, our team captain, and, you know, the game's bigger than all that, and it's important for these kids to understand that, and I've been very impressed with our kids.
Yeah, Coach, and when we talked to Doug Goltz, and he said exactly the same way that you know, this is an educational experience as well as everything else. Before I ask the first question, I just wanted to congratulate you and your team. That was one of the best high school football teams ever in the state of Nebraska. Definitely since 2000, it's the best team. It's something people can argue back and forth about, hey, who's the best team and et cetera. But I really appreciated the fact that there were times where you could have loaded it up and beaten some really good football teams really bad. But in the middle of the third quarter, by then you'd said, hey, that's enough. We're just going to finish these things out. You were very careful, and I thought that was very important and maybe it wasn't noticed by as many people, but it was noticed by me. And I want to thank you for doing that for a lot of other good high school football teams in the state of Nebraska.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, on a couple of levels, one is, you know, you're in this profession long enough, you've been on both sides of it. And, you know, I still believe in the competitive nature that, you know, this is a game of life and that we're teaching kids, you know, how to make good choices. And part of those is to be respectful of everybody and I really embrace that role. And I, you know, it was also humbling for me too to watch a group of men to stay hungry when they were having success the way that they were in high school. So I think it was a good, example for the programs in the state of Nebraska when you're reaching that elite status that these young men stayed hungry. Their coaches did a great job of keeping them, keep the carrot in front of them and keep them working every week. And, so all those concepts are things that they will be able to take to their next stage of their life and their workforce of being on a team and being very understanding in a lot more, way that can impact a significant amount of people. But thank you for recognizing that. Always I've felt that, Coach Martin is going to take care of kids, and I have a responsibility for that, but I do appreciate that.
Talk a little bit about some of the kids. We've got, this is the Kearney area, and there's some kids from Grand Island on your team and et cetera, but talk a little bit about some of the kids and what you've noticed and maybe a little bit about the South and what you're concerned about on their team.
Yeah, on the north side of it, it's just been really good to see the kids from all over. A couple of the kids hit it right on the button that, we get up in a community, regardless of where it is, in the city of Omaha or in Grand Island or in Albion, Boone Central, and you certainly have these programs that you want to be really bad, and it almost comes to a point where you don't really know if you like those people. And then when you get into these games, you see that their kids are just the same way that you are. They're trying to accomplish the same thing, and to watch our kids let their barriers down and really go through that, it's been really, really unique to see. And I certainly enjoy that, and I'm glad that I was, through the help of the Shrine Bowl, be able to create an atmosphere that we were able to put those things aside and really move on as young men. So I think you're going to see a good football team out of the South. They're very talented. I think they're big and strong up front. I like both their quarterbacks. I think they're both a little bit different in terms of what they bring to the table. Isaiah's they both throw the ball well, but Isaiah's more of a, he can run some option with you. Not to say that the other young man can't, but he's got a strong arm. We think they're very good at the linebacker position and the offensive and defensive lines. And we're hopeful that maybe it's still an all-star game, but we're hopeful that we can wear them down a little bit. I think we have quite a bit of depth on our offensive and defensive lines, but not very many of our kids are going to play both ways at all. And so that's kind of the thought process. But more importantly, we just want to have fun, let the kids go out and showcase their skills and really, get a great crowd out there, which I've always been very impressed, not being from the state of Nebraska, but to watch that area of the state get out and support their sports teams. And I'm sure that having a son played in it 2 years ago, the crowd that I saw out there, I'm sure that we're going to pack it in this year as well.
A couple moments left here with Larry Martin, the head coach of the North squad for this year's Shrine Bowl. You have had the opportunity, Larry, to see these Grand Island guys up close and personal a couple of times. And because of the injury situation, it appears Pierce Allman will be put into the situation to taking almost all of the snaps. Is that what we should expect on Saturday?
Yeah, right now Pierce will take every snap, we have worked with Wyatt just a little bit, Missouri, but Pierce right now is planned on taking every snap, and he's a competitor. He's going. I really respect him and his family, who I've gotten to know. I was joking around with Pierce early on in the process before we had to make some decisions to provide some support for Calvin and his family to get him up to USD, but. And I told him he's got to learn two things before he comes to the Shrine Bowl. Number one, to get his hands underneath the center, and two, to turn around and hand it off to Calvin. I was joking with him about that. But he's a fine young man. He's very competitive. The one thing I've really noticed about Pierce is when the lights come on and we start scrimmaging, he kicks it up a gear. So that's good to see. And Kevin Cahoy, great nose for the football. Just a true joy to be around. I know these kids are tired, but he's done a really good job over there on the defensive side of the ball. But they're representing their school, their community very well, and doesn't surprise me at all.
As long as Cahoy leaves the pole vaults back in the locker room, I think everybody will be okay. One of my favorite questions, Larry, is there's no way you have a chance to see all these kids except on film when you're putting the team together. One or two that you never saw until they showed up at camp that you went, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, Tanner Borchert, big, tall, lengthy young man, and I've seen his learning curve, step up in terms of, really accelerating. Ian Mertlich from Blair, an inside linebacker, to get there and watch him, you know, accelerate to the ball at that Mike linebacker. That's a couple of young men that, you know, that stick out immediately from me, you know, that I've enjoyed working with. Nate Flaherty out of Norfolk Catholic, big, strong, athletic offensive lineman. Trevor McEwen, I know I'm talking a lot more about the deep offensive guys because I am doing the line, but Trevor, we took him as a, you know, when Trevor Benham from Miller North dislocated his shoulder during throwing the discus, we brought Trevor, and he's done a nice job at tight end and, you know, for us. So there's been a lot of great stories. I really appreciate the kids' openness to really mold themselves into our offense because I know that's not that easy to do. I still remember when my son Zach a couple of years ago was playing in the Shrine Bowl, and they were a full triple option team, and you know, Zach's a drop back passer. He's, you know, scheduled to be the starting quarterback at Iowa Western next year, more of a spread type of guy. So I really appreciate the kids' openness to work with us on what we do offensively, and they've just done a great job with us.
Larry Martin, Omaha North. Last question I got for you, Larry, here, and we'll let you get back to work, is Coach Goltz, obviously, eight-man. He's got a couple of All-Staters there. Both you guys are state champions. You don't have to worry as much as he does about acclimating 11-man kids, and I think, unless I'm wrong here, Colt Foster or Hemmingford might be your only eight-man kid. What do you do with him?
Colt, he's, you know, he has adjusted very well. He'd be another kid that I would tell you his learning curve. We started him over on the defensive side of the ball just because of where we were at linebacker position. And then, you know, now we brought him over to the offensive side, and he's much more comfortable. That's what he told us that he's looking at playing in college. But he is a very dynamic football player. He's got very good hands, and he just really, for the short amount of time that we have him, you know, because I think the reads and stuff like that were a little bit different than what he was used to, obviously, seeing playing eight-man football. But he's adapted very well. And we even mentioned in the coaches' meeting that he's going to Shatter State. Look out. He's going to be one of those kids 2 or 3 years from now that are going to be having who's going to be having a heck of a career out there. But
well, Larry, we'll see you guys in Kearney. Keep up the great work, and this should be a whale of a game Saturday. Thanks for the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You bet. We look forward to seeing you on Friday.
Thanks, buddy. Larry Martin joining us here on ESPN Radio. Busy week. It is media day. They found some time to push us in since we couldn't be at both sites down there. And we'll catch up with some of the players tomorrow and kind of highlight them during the Shrine Bowl coverage, which is Saturday on Classic Hits. So we're looking forward to that. Jimmy had to slide on out of here. He has some commitments. We have a couple of other things that we're going to hit on here. We're going to give away our Nebraska Danger tickets here in just a moment. So if you like a family four-pack to the Nebraska Danger game, hang on. I'll give you a chance to win tickets here. But I think it's interesting to see, now for me, and I suppose for anybody, but I think on an opportunity for media guys, whether I've seen them play or whatever the media is, when you get a chance to see these guys, especially like a Louis DeJager, Battle Creek, these Battle Creek kids that are going to be playing in this game, we got a chance to see them the last couple of years in the state football playoffs. You wouldn't normally get to see those guys any other time, and if you're just following your team, you're not going to get a chance to see these guys play, and that's what makes a game like the Shrine Bowl fun. I think there are a ton of kids that are maybe the best Shrine Bowl we've had in a long, long time. And Pierce Allman's going to get a chance to shine. We talked about that earlier in the week with Sean Callahan. You haven't really seen a kid, maybe since Brockmeyer, chucking around as much as Pierce Allman may have the opportunity to do. And with Marquise Lewis, probably the fastest kid on the field, it's going to be some outstanding things. And will Noah Johnson be able to run the ball like he did at Sutton here for the South squad in the Shrine game? Should be a great one. A lot of area kids and some of the state's best. They're going to South Dakota. They're going to Nebraska. They're going to Ohio. They're going to a variety of colleges. And then outside of the Division I, just about everybody else finding a home to hone their football skills. Let's take a break. And as we go into break, if you would like the four-pack of Nebraska Danger tickets, they host Wichita Falls Saturday night, 7 o'clock at the Heartland Events Center. Call now at 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. Here is the trivia question. Larry Martin, Omaha North. Doug Goltz, Fall City, Sacred Heart. Both won state football championships this year. Name the runner-up team in either A or D2. Who was the runner-up team? I don't need them both. I just need one of them. Who was the state runner-up in either Class A or Class D2? The first correct caller will get the Nebraska Danger tickets. We'll be right back.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
The 57th Annual Nebraska High School Shrine Game will be Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock at Foster Field, and you can hear it live on Classic Hits 98.9. The best senior football players from across the state. Saturday, the Shrine Bowl on Classic Hits.
The Village Green at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village offers seniors a comfortable lifestyle in a caring community. The Village Green is designed to accommodate those who require a little extra. Apartments feature full kitchen, spacious living room, accessible bathroom, and an emergency call system. Services include a noon meal, housekeeping, and transportation. The Village Green can help you maintain your independence with services to keep you safe and healthy. Contact Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
American Pharoah's breathtaking speed won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Now he takes on the Belmont Stakes, the longest, most exhausting final leg of the Triple Crown. Simulcast for wagering Saturday at Fonner Park. Be there for the Belmont, plus simulcasting from 23 tracks. Breakfast served 10 to 11 a.m. First race, 10:35. Clubhouse open at 1. Advanced wagering available Friday. American Pharoah runs for the Triple Crown Saturday, Fonner Park.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Hanging with us is like spending an afternoon at the pool with your buddies, only without the water and women in bathing suits.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
Now the race is on and here comes pride.
Doug and Daddy Show wrapping things up on this Thursday. Oh, man, congratulations to Jim from Gibbon, the winner of our Nebraska Danger tickets. Now, I may have given the question a little wrong there. Fall City Sacred Heart won the state championship a year ago. I said last year, and by that I meant a year ago. Exeter Million beat them in the semifinals this year. So we would have accepted either Anselmo Myrna, who was the runner-up in D2 this year, or Stewart last year. But Creighton Prep was the correct answer, and that's what we got in Class A. So congratulations to Jim from Gibbon. Don't forget to join the Doug and Daddy Show tomorrow for 2 hours. We are live from 11 to 1 at Johnson Lawn and Landscape for their Customer Appreciation Days. Customer Appreciation Specials in the nursery both Friday and Saturday. Staff is on hand to answer all of your nursery questions, landscaping, sprinkler questions, hardscaping, whatever the case may be. It's a busy summer, and they want you to get it off on the right foot. The Doug and Daddy Show, Damon Day will join me. We'll talk to Brian Maher from Kearney High. Michelle Yu from Santa Anita will give us her thoughts on what's going on with the Belmont and a lot more tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show from 11 to 1 at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Cole Manhart did not receive the Ken B. Jones Award last night. The MIAA Hall of Fame induction ceremonies and awards banquet was held in Kansas City. The Ken B. Jones Award is the high honor that a male and female athlete can receive. In the MIAA, Kate Lehman of Fort Hays State, women's basketball player, and undefeated national champion wrestler Chris Watson out of Central Oklahoma claimed the men's award. The final standings for Division II, the Learfield Sports Directors Cup is out. No shock that Grand Valley State is your winner by a wide margin, but the shocker is that if they dominated that much, how could a team in their same conference be second? But I guess Ashland University did. Central Missouri, out of the MIAA, finished third in the all-sports standings. And for UNK, 59th this year. They'd been right there in the 5-6 slot all year in the MIAA, and that's where they finish up again this year. That's where they total all of the postseason award points, and as deep as you go in the playoffs and the where you finish in track and wrestling and volleyball, and they add it all up, and that is your winner for this year. UNK has added 5 basketball players on the women's side. We already knew that Brianna Miller of Kearney High was signing. Holdridge High School's Jenna Gillespie is coming in. Michaela Berry is going to transfer from Hastings College and follow Coach Hofstetter over. She will have to sit out this season, so she'll have another year coming up at UNK. And then 2 other junior college transfers, Amani Kaiser of Jacksonville, Florida, and Brianna Starks out of Illinois Springfield, will be joining the Lopers. And the Kearney Country Club hosting the Nebraska Boys and Girls match play yesterday was qualifying. The defending champions on both sides, Alex Shockey of Omaha and Haley Teal of Wahoo, were your number one seeds going into the day. And let's give you some updates here. On the girls' side, Haley Teal has beaten Kaylee Becker of Cozad in her first match. Mackenzie 8-7. Mackenzie Foos of Omaha leads Morgan Teal of Kearney 2-0 through 9 holes. Madeline Murray of Kearney trails Hannah Teal 2-0 through 9 holes. And Brandy Lemick of Donovan is 1-0 through 9 holes over Ricky Hickstein of Shadron. On the boys' side, plenty of area talent and a few more that medaled at the state tournament that could not make it yesterday or make it into today by one stroke. Caleb Badura of Aurora has been defeated by Coy Potoff of Scotts Bluff 4-3 in the first round of match play. And again, they'll all play again later today. Cody Trout of Kearney is 1-0 in his match through 9 holes today. Ryan Clark of Kearney is 2 down through 13 to Sean Song of Omaha. And that brings us to the end of a busy Doug and Daddy show. Again tomorrow, live at Johnson Lawn and Landscape. Brian Maher on his way up to South Dakota and Sioux Falls to be their superintendent. Last few days here with the Kearney Public School System. Plus, he was the president of the NSAA Board of Directors, and it looks like they may be making a change. We'll talk about Kearney. We'll talk about that with him tomorrow. Michelle Yu from Santa Anita. Damon Day, UNK baseball coach. A lot to talk about on a Friday as Super Regionals will begin tomorrow as well. We want to thank the Shrine Bowl coaches, Doug Goltz of Falls City Sacred Heart, Larry Martin of Omaha North for joining us today, and Gino Bucola of the TVG Network. Enjoy your Thursday, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show. Don't forget the NBA Finals, Game 1 tonight, Cleveland at Golden State. Tip off just after 8 right here on ESPN.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!